Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is ruling the world.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the Lord.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Delighted to be able to come across these airways again tonight, bringing you the divine word of truth. I hope and pray that all was well in your family circle on today, and I hope everything continually to be well with you and yours. And I am so delighted to be able to come into your workspace, come into your living room area, and then being able to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the old ship of Zion on your radio dial. I just thank God for you, you and you that were able to tune in on tonight. Hallelujah. I know that the night might be spontaneously to some of you because I'm coming on a little late, but others, this is probably their desired time schedule. So I just thank God for being able and having this podium, this opportunity to share the divine word of God with you, you and you. Hallelujah. And I just want to say a prayer for those of you that has encountered a loss of a loved one on tonight, and our prayers and condolences go out to you, you and you that are in bereavement on tonight, and may God bless you and just hold you close, and may God restore peace and joy and happiness into your heart of grief on tonight. And Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name the glory and honor and all the praise, God. We won't take no praise from you, Father God. We'll give you all the glory, all the honor that's due unto thee, Almighty God. Hallelujah. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we shall say amen and amen. All right, we're going to shift gears, and we're going to go right now on to our opening prayer. We come across these airways with an opening prayer each and every time that we come across, because we want to acknowledge God and let him know that we love him and that we adore him and that we thank him for every single thing that he does in our lives, because without him we are nothing, but with God we are everything. And we just thank God, and we're going to acknowledge him, and we're going to go down in prayer at this time. And I'm asking those of you that will, that if you would bow your beautiful heads as we go down right now in prayer. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to come together in unity once again around the spectrum, God. For we know that this soil that we're standing on, God, we know that this is not our permanent place of home, God. We know that you have designated line and wait and reserve a mansion that's not built by mortal man, God, but you are its builder, you are its creator, and you are its architect, God. But until you crack those clouds one of these old historical mornings, God, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land. And I'm asking you, O Heavenly Father, on tonight, hallelujah, to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you, God, and the pardon of their iniquity. I'm asking you, O Heavenly Father, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty name. And let the church say amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to go right now on into our scheduled program. And our sermon on tonight, entitled, Pointing Fingers, I Was Wrong. I want to say that one more time. Tonight's scheduled sermon is Pointing Fingers, I Was Wrong. And I just would like to ask those of you that may be listening out there in the live audience on tonight, how many times has you pointed a finger at someone and find out later on that you had wrongfully charged those individuals and you felt bad about it, but you yet to respond with a reply of sovereignty? You want to say that you were sorry and to forgive you, you know, of wrong rendered. I just like to share a testimony with you of my own. Some years ago, I was into one of the banks. I will not, divulge the name of the bank, but I was in one of the banks, and I don't know, something in my account that went terribly wrong, and I did not like it at all, and so I stated that much that I didn't like, you know, what was going on, if they went in and gotten too much out, or they overcharged me, or what, I don't know, because it has been some time now, but I just, like I said, I just wanted to share this with you, because we are all, you know, here on planet Earth, we're not in heaven yet, so we're still mortal man and woman walking down here on this planet Earth, you know, so we tend to sit to error, but the thing of it is going back and correcting what you have wrong. And so, like I said in this story that I want to share with you, is that I let the bank manager know of what my concerns was, and so it looked like he just kind of jumped sides, you know, with his employee. And so, anyway, words was exchanged, and so I said, you know, some things that wasn't so nice. And so I didn't use any profanity or anything like that, but the words that I used just was not right. And so anyway, the man just escorted me to the door, you know, and I went on my way. Well, after I gotten back home, you know, God dealt with me and, you know, told me, "Now, daughter, now you know what you said wasn't right." And I acknowledged to it, "Yes, Lord, I know it wasn't. It sure was not right." You know, and so God told me that he wanted me to pick up the phone, call back up to the bank, and tell the manager that I was sorry for the remarks that I had made. And so I did. I picked the phone up, called the bank, and asked to speak to the man that I had just spoken with before exiting at the bank. And so I told him who I was and everything, and he told me that he accepted my apology. And so, you know, I hung the phone up, felt good about that. But, you know, God just didn't leave it at that. You know, even though I acted upon the move of God, what God's instructions to me was, and I did that, I apologized just like the Spirit of the Lord advised me to. But God told me to say, you know, I know you obeyed me, said you picked the phone up and you called the bank as I have, you know, have asked you to do. Said, but I want you to go a little step further. Said, I want you to get into your automobile and I want you to drive up there and I want you to apologize personally face to face. Now, some of you might would say, you know, Lord, now I'll do anything you want me to do, but that's just one thing that I can't do. Well, I tell you what, I beg to differ. I am an obedient child, not a heathen child, but I am an obedient child of God. So whatever the Father asks me to do, it's no question asked. I'm not going to ask God any questions. It's just, yes, Lord. So I got up and got ready, took my shower and got my clothes on, went back up to the bank fully dressed in my attire. And I told him again, this is the lady that called you on the phone. I said, but I was prompted by divine, you know, to come back to the bank and to acknowledge you one-on-one. I said, and I just want again to tell you face-to-face that I'm sorry for what I have said. So the bank manager shook my hand and did, you know, just a friendly gesture and everything and told me if I needed anything, to don't hesitate to let him know. And, you know, after I've done that, I come on back home and I feel good. You know, because I tell you what, it feels so good to be able to not be so stuck on self that you're so big because you've got all your money, you've got all your power, you've got all your prestige. But one thing you're going to have, you're going to have a humble heart. with all your money and prestige, you're going to have humbleness and a heart to say, I'm sorry, when the time allowed it. You're going to have to say, I'm sorry for what I've done, and please forgive me. And I felt so good, so renewed after I had done that. And so now I'm going to go right on into my scheduled program. All right, we're going to go right now. All right, now, just like I first stated, it's a times to where we should remove the plank that's in our eyes. And when you can remove the plank and the log that's in your eye, then you will see clearly. Because if you move that log that's in your eye, then you can see clearly about the plank that's in your sister or brother's eye. Hallelujah. And we've got her now. The crowd thought Jesus' body had bent over, and the crowd couldn't see his fingers and strained to see what he was writing. When Jesus finished writing, he stood up and said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. That scripture reading is found in the law of John 8 and 7. And the crowd scattered, singing away in shame. One person thought about the Sabbath he had broken. Another remembered cheating his neighbors in a property sale. Still another remembered the last time he went off on his mother, and each had to back away when he remembered he had transgressed God's law, even if only in little ways. Now, if we are to walk in the light, we must honestly confess that we have sinned. Whether we call in sick in order to go to the ball game or kept the extra $5 that the cashier mistakenly counted out into your hands. We are no better than the man who robbed the convenience store or the girl who snatched the purse to pay for her drugs. All of us have transgressed God's law and are deserving of punishment. Yet we know that God holds out an olive branch. If we confess our sins, we know that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That key scripture is found in the Lord, verse John 1 and 9. So we must resist the temptation to condemn others for wrongdoing. Instead, we need to be servants of God who work to reconcile all people unto him. We know that the Lord of this universe, honest repent, allows God to forgive us, cleanses us, and reconcile us to himself. So let us serve God by helping to draw all men's ends to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Father God. And we know, like the Bible says, it is not a one that has not sinned. Hallelujah. And we will read that key scripture in the law of Psalms 14 and 3. And it reads like this. It says, there is none who does good. No, not one. That scripture reading is found in the law of Psalms 14 and 3. Hallelujah. Now we know that some churches have become divided. Hallelujah. Over styles of worship. One group may be insisting on a traditional service, while another is agitating for a more contemporary format. We can all profit from a lesson a man learned on a business trip. After attending a church service near his hotel, he talked with the pastor about how he had been blessed by the sermon, even though some of the worship time was not to his liking. The pastor simply asked, what was it you think that God didn't like? The man had the grace to reply, I don't suppose there was anything that he didn't like. I was talking about my own reaction. But worship isn't really about me, is it? We are entitled to our own preference, and we must hold firmly to our biblical conviction. But before we voice our fault-finding opinions, Let us seriously try to understand God's viewpoint. Consider Ephesians 5 in the light of worship. We are to be filled with the Spirit. Speak to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Give thanks to God and submit to one another. That's verse 19 and 21. Whatever the style of worship, as we express to God our praise for who He is and all He has done for you and I, we lift Him up and encourage others. That's what God likes. So let us celebrate together, lift our voices in one accord, singing of God's grace and mercy and the goodness of our Lord. At the heart of worship is the worship from the heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. And we also know, thank you, Lord, that some of us are quick to find fault with other fellow believers. Hallelujah. And also we know that in the name of encouraging or exalting, we point out the sins and the shortcomings of our brothers and sisters in Christ without seeing our own failures or guilt. That scripture reading is found in the law of Luke 6 and 37 through 42. And I was reminded of that when I heard what happened to a lady by the name of Miss McKinney. She was driving the streets of a Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, late one evening when she encountered a car. He turned left in front of her, and she honked her horn to let the person know that he had nearly caused an accident by his carelessness. When she parked her car a few minutes later, that same individual pulled up beside her, and the driver got out. The next time you honk your horn at someone, he replied, maybe you should make sure that your headlights are on. Surely enough, in her haste, she had forgotten to turn on her lights. She had been so convinced that he was in the wrong that she never saw her own error. She was the one who had almost caused an incident. We often act in a similar way. We are quick to judge the behavior of others and point out their errors. Yet refers that we examine our own lives and be quick to say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. And we know that it takes much grace to judge ourselves, for pride remains so strong. But we know that God will bless the souls who cry, oh Lord, forgive me, I am wrong. So we should be quick to judge yourself and slow to judge others. Hallelujah. And our second key scripture for tonight is, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye. That scripture reading is found in the law of Luke 6 and 42. And there was also an individual at the bill collection department of a large store, hallelujah, that gave insight into human nature. And he told that repeatedly gets the violent response from customers who are delinquent in paying their bills. Said that, I know you must have others who owe a lot more than I do. Get off my back, will you? And the employee then told, said, they missed the point entirely. Surely, there are a lot of others who owe more. But somehow, I have to tell them in a nice way. Look, what somebody else owes isn't the issue. Our record says that your account is overdue. So the tendency of sinful man has always been to shift attention from himself or herself by pointing the finger at others. Religious people excuse their inconsistencies by referring to the pagans around them, and the pagans try to sidestep the issue by talking about the hypocrites of the religion. But we find out that God is not fooled by finger pointing. When someone else appears to be a greater sinner than we are, it's just an illusion. The sooner we realize that no one owes more to God than we do, the more likely we are to receive His free forgiveness. He extends His pardon only to those who humbly acknowledge that they are hopeless in debt. And to say, my sins, O Lord, defies your word. It's scorned your holy name, but I will not make excuses for wrong. Christ's blood is what I claim. One sin rationalized becomes two. So before pointing a finger at someone else, look at self. Look inside the walls of self. So you are surely to find that there is error. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank God, hallelujah, for being able to come across these airways and to share the goodness of Jesus Christ. So like I first stated, we should not be quick to judge anyone because we all have sinned. The Word of God tells us we all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory and honor of God. But we know God is a forgiving God. We know God is long-suffering. We know God is slow to anger. Hallelujah. So we know that before we start to point fingers at someone else, sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine or someone else's. Hallelujah. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to impact your spirit and to infuse your mind. As I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions that you would want the eldership of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you are most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Block Talk Radio. Your program has been The Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we come across these skyways and highways, you're most certainly encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We have some entertainment of music selections that we would like to bring before you tonight. And these are just songs of encouragement to lighten your load and to make your load a little lighter and your burdens lighter and your hopefully your spirit will be infused. Hallelujah. So we just asking you, if you will, to just listen up as we bring unto you the hymns of praise. Hallelujah. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. And we allow these selections to bring our program to its closure. May God bless you. Hallelujah. And you be blessed.
We'll be alive. Here we are, Lord. Oh. And cast my crown.